Solomon's Song, chapter 4. And as the Holy Ghost is pleased to help us, we will venture to speak a few things from verse 7. Thou art all fair, my love. There is no spot in me. These words came most unexpectedly, and they've never left me. And if it were my own choice, I would have preferred some other text. But I feel that God has a purpose in laying these words upon the mind. And these words are spoken not in favor with a dead professor, nor in favor to a profane sinner who is walking knowingly and willfully in open profanity and sin, that they are spoken in favor to a new born soul who knows that conflict which we set before you in the 9th chapter of Ezekiel. And if you've come right and I've come right, you must have that same mark within your own breast, which all God's newborn sons and daughters are brought into it, because they do not bring themselves into it, but God brings them into that most extraordinary experience, where they are brought to silent cry because of the abominations which are known in their own heart. You will never find yourself all fair in your nature. No, and you will never be able to believe there's any spot of holiness in your nature. But these characters who carry this mark, according to the scripture, the 9th chapter of Ezekiel, as they are chosen in Christ Jesus, these sons and daughters are always fair, and there is no spot or blemish in them. Now this is a word of encouragement for those of us who pass from death unto life, and we read of the sovereignty of God in that 9th chapter of Ezekiel, you know. And you know His eye will not spare, and I don't know the more solemn chapter for a minister to handle than that 9th chapter, because people, even among God's people, their own nature will rise up against it because of His sovereignty. But you know, the person who is commanded to slay old and young, maidens and even little children. Many years ago I preached from that chapter to Stockholm, and really God brought me to a sifting time. My own son came to me on the Monday when I was working in the garden and up the road. He said, concerning his little baby, he said, so-and-so is in a hospital, oxygen tent there, and I've got to have a minister come and visit him. He said, will you come? I said, yes. And Satan said, well, now you're going to witness one of your own grandchildren cut down in death because you preached from the 9th chapter of Ezekiel, Stockholm, and yesterday. But that baby did not die, and it is alive today. And my greatest grief is that it's just rolling and plunging in the failure of this world, not in under a cloak of religion, but in the profane world. And we see even sometimes our offerings and relations do benefit in providence through the prayers of our godly parents or grandparents or even relations. But now here he speaks his word in love and kindness, and nobody needs it more than I do. If I could feel myself friends every day and night that I was all fair in myself and that there was no spot of sin in me, how frail I should grow as I live in this wilderness. But you see, although God the Father sees His sons and daughters in this blessed, sinless condition, as He makes them, makes a choice of them in His beloved Son, that's how He views them. He sees no spot in them, because there was no spot of sin in His beloved Son. The Father always did view them as such, and you know His delights were with the sons of men. But when it comes to the teaching of the early church. The Lord doesn't teach us that we are full of holiness, but he solemnly teaches us that we are full more of unholiness than we do lament and travail, betwixt the powers of grace and sin. And we mourn to with the Apostle Paul when he said, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. Well, what a mercy then if you and I do have that real mark in us, which we read of in the ninth chapter of Ezekiel. You know, no natural gift professor can enter into it. And I always remember old Mr. Tingley, who's now in glory, taking it for his text one Sunday morning upon our road 45 years ago. And he dealt especially with the scripture speaks so clearly, and the Lord said unto him, go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and set a mark upon the foreheads of the men that sight and that cry of all the abominations that be done in the midst thereof. Now, what did you and I know of such an experience when we were dead in trespasses and in sin, whether we had a dead form of religion, or whether we were in the profane world, walking according to the course of this world? Why is it that professors go down into the bottomless pit with that dreadful lie upon their conscience, where they have said, we have no sin? It is because, my friend, God has sovereignly designed them into this time state to be vessels of wrath, fitted to destruction. You know, if you come right and I come right, we shall endorse that blessed hymn 612. And I have read it and reread it several times through the week since these words were applied to me. And he makes sure, my friend, because, you know, God does send some professors lying delusions to believe a lie. But Mr. Gadsby, he speaks wonderfully clear in 612 concerning the Shulamite. And he said, in every believer, two armies are seen, the new man of grace and the old man of sin. In Christ he is perfect and free from all guilt, yet in himself evils are both seen and felt. Now, can you really and truly embrace the language in that verse? Well, if you can, and if I can do it, friend, it is because we pass from death unto life. And he speaks in this beautiful verse here, when Christ takes possession and proves himself king, then sin, world, and Satan, their forces will break, nor will they be wanting a gunshot from hell. The old prince of darkness will furnish them that. How can you and I expect if this wonderful King Jesus has come to us in a personal way, where he has cast out Satan out of us by the finger of God himself, being God of man? How can we expect Satan to show us any mercy? You will walk in your religion as the Lord works in you, my friend, but the word hell today in our denomination would give many Pharisees an offense. But the people of God in every nation, in the covenant of his grace, they are all taught the same things in a lesser or a greater measure. And this conflict will go on in his faithful ministers and in the faithful hearers. And it is a favored church who has a faithful minister, a deacon at the desk, who knows his old path and contends for it. If you had a deacon at your desk who's a Pharisee, it'll be a sad day to you in this place, my friend, because he would never want my ministry. No, another gracious man who come here. But while you've got a good deacon and Holy Ghost taught children of God who know this old path, you are greatly favored. And you younger generation, though you may be entirely ignorant of it, and you cannot bring yourself into it, and the Lord meets from you, he will shine into your heart and shows you what is in your heart. Ministers can't make you see what's inside your heart. But when God comes in grace, He'll give you an inshining, and by the Holy Spirit, and He will show you enough, my friend, to make you tremble at your sight, as He gives you also a revelation of the holiness of God in that righteous law, which demands perfection from you, and God enlightening you to show you that your heart is like a little hell here that will make you tremble, because what the Lord demands you cannot pay in return. But this is the teaching of the Holy Spirit, and it is to make us understand more and more our lost and ruined condition, and also make us look to Jesus, kind and strong, mercy, joy and power. Well then, if you and I are being taught and led by the Spirit of God, we should do the genuine sign and the crying, not just because of the abomination done in our own man, but also in our own heart. You see, God's religion is a heart work, friends, not dry doctrine in the head. But when the Lord deals with His people, and it is a strange and a mysterious school to be brought into, I do confess, and I'm still in it by the grace of God, and like all God's children, I can be strongly tempted to give it all up because I get tired of this continual warfare which goes on betwixt the powers of grace and sin. Yet Jesus, He still kindly listens while we tell the bitter pangs we feel with Him. Well now, if you know this conflict, then you've got the witness of the Holy Ghost that this wonderful Christ, who is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, He has cast Satan out of your heart and set up His own kingdom. Not to teach you that you're more holy and holy, as Satan has blinded the dead Pharisees with such delusion, that he'll make you see more and more as your own fallen and ruined condition. And you know, God, He teaches His children a strange way. You know, He doesn't teach us the truth as a schoolboy learns his task, but He interferes with our pride and arrogancy. He will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the foolish. And instead of showing us what charming, lovely, holy characters we are, He shows us more and more that we are born with the image of Satan. And you know, we don't like to be told these things, and we don't like to be shown them. But my friend, God will teach His children that they have a hoarse forehead, and they refuse to be ashamed, even in that unregenerate day. But when we are called by grace, He shows us greater abominations in our heart, which we never actually walked in openly in profanity. Yet, as He teaches us, He will show us that we have every species of sin in our hearts, which are deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked, and who can know. Now this word, you see, is left on record for that poor child of God who wrestles here with the angry powers of sin, and they are all fair in Christ. Jesus speaks of the person here as His bride, and Jesus in eternity, you know, He stood surety for the church, and He bound Himself with immortal love to stand in their room instead, and to make them all fair, and also to completely redeem them from hell, destruction, and despair. They are all fair, my love. There is no spot in them. What a wonderful mystery it is. Yet sinless, foulless hell, we find rising up against our mind, nor would Satan spare to say, we have quite mistook the way. I believe there is a time here on earth when God's people had their sins forgiven, where they really feel this, because when a child of God is brought on that parcel of ground to have their sins forgiven in a personal way, they cannot find their sin. They feel themselves washed in the Redeemer's blood, They feel themselves clothed with his glorious righteousness, and he charms them with a holy kiss, and he makes them know what union is, and he draws them to his breast. I would be more thankful that I do know what I set before you in a lesser or a great measure. And at that time, the sparrow, when she was in that banquet of hers, I believe she felt that she would know no more about sin. But alas, my friend, there's a lesson to be taught, and that is progressive sanctification. Not you growing more heavily in yourself in your heart, but you being shown by God's judgment that in you, that is in your flesh, dwelleth no good thing. Nevertheless, a child of God, they do know what it is to stand on that partial ground where they truly feel washed and purged from their original sins and transgressions, where God comes and applies his precious blood, where his righteousness has been imputed, and where they feel that true communion with this wonderful Christ who loved them and gave himself for them. So I know he speaks here of the church, thou art all fair, my love. Can you trace in your religion something of the genuine approaching of this wonderful Christ in the first chapter of Solomon's song? Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine. And she speaks of her own blackness in that chapter, you know. And you will feel that in regeneration, God will come and show you what you've been by nature in your unregeneracy. And he also will continually make you feel and see what you are in your ruin. And that is, in your old heart, dwelleth no good thing. Well, now it's Christ that makes them all fair. And it is Christ that makes them all complete in holiness. You know, when Christ left the Father's throne above, he did not come into this lower world to do his own will, but he came into this lower world to do the will of the Father who had sent him. And it was the will of the Father that he should stand surety for strangers. And long before the foundation of the world was made and laid by the Son of God, this wonderful Christ in eternity, he swore to his own earth, and he never changed his mind when he came upon this earth to stand in the church's room instead and make this rebellious character complete, as he speaks of here, completely fair and without any spot of sin in them, and that is by himself being delivered for their offences and raised again for their justification. You will find that as you come lower and lower to the grave, your faith will become more keenly tried, because the conflict will increase betwixt the powers of grace and sin. And Satan will try your faith too, and you will think it such a strange and peculiar trial. As Peter said, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is sent upon you, as though some strange thing should happen unto you. Well, now, if we put common sense together, and if God made us see that we were full of opponents and sinless, what trial would that be to you and I? And God never designed to cast sin out of his people. He does cast Satan, but he never casts out sin. And that is the trial of our faith here upon earth. And although sometimes God does work and come through means to bring about this flaring up, and showing us what else will escape our sight, nevertheless, it is for our spiritual profit, and it is to make us live a Holy Ghost life of faith upon the Son of God, who loved the church and gave himself for it. You see, in every true Shulamite, that which is a child of God, whatever angel case it may be, there will always be the two arms of God. The older man of sin and the new man of grace. Now, if you're in that conflict, it is because you've got grace. Although as God deepens the work and makes raging hell and wrestling sin strike all your spiritual comforts dead, It is a sign of grace within the ground beneath the load. Now you consider what faith and characters are real in comparison with those characters in the ninth chapter of Ezekiel. And you know that prophet. He had to speak what the Lord commanded him to speak to. And he said, slay utterly old and young, both maids and good children and women, but come not near any man upon whom is the mark, and begin at my sanctuary. Then they began at the ancient men which were before the heavens. Another afflicted the prophet, you know, to command that to be done, because the prophet, he was only like ourselves, natural, born in sin and shaped iniquity. And don't you think that afflicted his flesh when he was commanded to speak against little children or maids and women? You see, the sovereignty of God, my friend, in the covenant, he will have mercy upon whom he will have mercy, and whom he will, he hardeneth. And we see it is not him that will it, nor him that runneth, but it is God that showeth mercy. You can see where the world is today, professing and profane. You can see their language, the Lord hath forsaken the earth, and the Lord seeth not. God hasn't forsaken the earth. While he has a people to be born again of the Holy Ghost in this universe, they'll keep coming into it. And this is the church's mercy, that God hasn't forsaken the earth. No, because, my friend, he brings this people into this time state that they might know him and the power of his resurrection. And what a strange and mysterious religion, God's religion is, that men and women and even little children or maidens should be brought upon whose name the Lord comes, should be brought to know and understand this mysterious teaching. You know, sometimes there's a lot of misunderstanding by some ministers who have not got that discretion. Some seem to think that a person must wallow in the depth of iniquity to be brought into this experience. It's all wrong. It's the condition we are brought into this world, friends. You see, as we are born into the world, so we inherit from our mother's womb every species of wickedness, and we shall never know that until God teaches us by the Holy Ghost, and we must be born again of the Holy Spirit to be quickened and enlightened. And you will see, my friend, that if you come out where the Lord has taught you, my friend, and you're a favored person, and you are a good scholar too, if God never found you in a brothel or some depth of profanity where men and women abuse their own natures, forsaking the use of the men, or forsaken the use of the women and living worse than cattle, I meant God to quicken you and show you from in the time of your childhood that some of these greater abominations have been opened up to you. And then to live a long life in profession where God deepens it more and more day and night. And this is to make his beloved son increase in your affection and to make you a decrease in your own estimation. You know, the nearer you travel home to God, the more you will come down like a little child, and having no good thing dwelling in you. You see, you and I would never build upon the foundation which God has set before us in the Word of God if you and I could build that on any fleshly merit in our own lost and ruined condition. The reason why the Pharisees railed upon Christ with this, because he told them, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. But the servant abideth not ever, but the Son abideth ever. Now if Christ has come, cast Satan out of you, whenever he's come to abide in you, he will never finally forsake you. We often feel we are forsaken and alone when we hear the devil roar, but actually, where God has come in grace, that blessed King of Jesus, he will never finally forsake the work which he began in us. And you see how those Pharisees went about to kill. commanded you and I with your authority and cross-laden arrows. He made us tremble at our sight. He made us look to our Maker and have respect unto the Holy One of Israel. You see, the religious mind can never bring Holy Ghost experience into the soul. Solomon's song belongs to that child of God who has been born again of the Holy Ghost and who know those two natures, and also they know what it is in God's own time and way to be brought into that banquet of heresy where his banner over them is love, where they feel his love shed abroad in their heart by the Holy Spirit. And often in their sanctified trials, that they are favored to have a renewing as they are brought to sit under his shadow, early great Jedi. You know, it's a great favor, my friend, to be taught and led by the Spirit of God, although the Lord put so many bitter things into his people's cups to drink, and yet they are made sweet as Jesus condescends to visit his people with his mighty love. Now, what a terrible thing it is for a professor or a profane sinner and not to enter into these vital things which have eternal life in it, because you know it is a sign of life within to groan beneath the burden. We know that the whole world lies in tribulation and groaneth, but my friend, where are the real people of God that have this mark upon them? Why, you got plenty of ministers in the pulpit today who know nothing about it, and that's why they won't preach about it. It's the flock of slaughter who are brought into these things, and it's a real trial to God's sons and daughters who've been taught and led by the Holy Spirit. And though their outside may be kept clean, yet within them they carry this burden of indwelling sin, and it is an affliction to them, friend, and nothing short that a word in season from the Master's lips can straighten them out. If this text doesn't fit somebody in this chapel, well then I think the devil is deceived me in my exercise. The word has never left me. Actually, it's done me good because of the actual conflict which I have to pass through day and night, where God convinces me that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. And you know, it will be a solemn day of destruction when the day of the Lord comes, you know. There'll be a lot of professors think that they will be on the Lord's side, but this is the only evidence, my friend, that you and I are on the Lord's side. Because how can you and I be made a real perpetual comer unto the Lord Jesus Christ in a state and condition where he says, come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Now, do you know what it is to have an aching void in your soul, which only a word from the lips of Christ can fill for you? You know, he doesn't leave us ministers graceless or destitute, because as we go down into the depths in travail with our own souls, so he brings a word in season to encourage us. Never think for one moment that we feel ourselves full of holiness. No, indeed we don't. We feel ourselves full of unholiness. That I'm unholy, Lord, and needs no proof. I deeply feel the fall. And you see, it's by these things God's people live. And in all these things is the light of that Spirit. And the most gracious, upright child of God, whose outside is kept completely clean, with uprightness and integrity, they feel the rage of hell and sin with them. That's never seen by humanity, only by themselves and by God. But we know that a child of God sometimes slips and sometimes falls heavily, and it is a grief to them. And nevertheless, for the most part, you will find a child of God, they are more heavy laden by indwelling sin. And you know, Jesus, the offended God, he invites the offending sinner there. You know, this does not shut you and I out of God's presence. But this is the means whereby the Lord works in his people to make his beloved son more precious. You see, he teaches us in the prophecy of Isaiah, look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. There's no good of you and I keep looking for ourselves, because as the Father chose his people in his beloved Son, and they are all fair in him, and as he saw them in him by choice, so he sees no spot in it. I did that in number 713, would suit your case next time. You know, it's a miracle of grace that makes a person feel themselves as black as any devil. Religion don't teach that. Profanity wouldn't teach them. You see, the profane sinner who lives in sin, dead in trespasses and in sin, they know nothing about the holiness of God. But you see, when a child is called by grace and they're brought under the teaching of the Holy Ghost, they not only see themselves left in their unregeneracy, but also after they pass from death unto life. For it is a mystery, my friend, that the teaching of the Holy Ghost is, you see, he brings the blind by ways which they know not, and he leads them into paths which they have not known, and these things God will do unto them, but not for Satan. What a solemn thing it will be in the judgment then, when these various characters will stand before the judgment seat of Christ, where God will judge the secrets of all men by Jesus Christ. And you consider when you meditate that little children will be there, vessels of rock, fitted to destruction. It's a very trying chapter for any faithful minister to handle, because he never knows what he may have to witness in respect of the sovereignty of God in his family. I don't look upon religious children who come from religious parents in just a vague way and say, well, I'm sure you're a child of God because you come from the loins of some the gospel standard minister or editor. I shouldn't want to generalize my congregation like that. Jesus never did it himself. He had love to children with whom the Father had sovereignly chosen in him and given them to him. But here we see the sovereignty of God and his terrible judgments, where he says, slay utterly old and young, both maids and little children and women, come not near any man upon whom the mark is the mark. Now do I carry this mark? I heard foolish shadow ministers say, well, if she can't see its mark, you'll not only see it, my friend, but you'll feel it. That's how you'll see the mark. You'll feel it within your own breast, and you'll carry the victim, and whatever you do, some baseness will appear. Wherever you go, from ringing your ears, and sometimes past offences will pain your eyes, which you have spiritually understood as being blotted out and completely forgiven you, as you enjoy the forgiveness of your sin. Nevertheless, sometimes those old sins and transgressions and sins of rebellion against God, Satan will bring back to you. I don't believe God brings them back to our remembrance in that way. Satan will bring them back to you and torment you and vex your mind about them. And the hymn writer says, past offences pain mine eyes, yes, but those past offences, what we indulged in and we committed in and our regeneracy have been blotted out and found and put away by the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because God says he will remember their sins and their iniquities no more. But you will find all those things in the company. Yet sometimes Satan will take you back right to your childhood and remind you of what you did in your childhood. In your regeneration, God brought them before you under a spiritual conviction and made you realize how you had sinned against God and come short of the glory of God. Nevertheless, this person is all fair in the sight of God. Now, are all fair, my love? You see, he uses the word love. He's not speaking to a vessel of rock given to destruction. And there is no spot in that. Oh, what a wonderful thing it will be if you and I are found amongst those characters, the remnant according to the election of grace, where we shall be presented before God, where those books are open, where Christ will present his one church by the body of his flesh through death. Holy, that is, before God, they are holy in his beloved Son, as he chose them in his beloved Son, who condescended to suffer the just and the unjust to bring them to God. And he will present them in that last great day, holy, unblameable, unreprovable in His Son. Do you know what it is to feel like a comely to the ground? No pomp, sound, or help. You may carry with you many regrets what you've done in your unregeneration. It doesn't depend upon that, my friend. If you can add to anything to God's great salvation in your own imagination, you make a great mistake. It is not thy caution, power of and save thee from despair. Why often I sink down in despair because of the dreadful band of sin that works in me, not because I live in sin, but because it lives in me. And it torments me, and Satan works on it. And you know, my friend, it's good when the Lord shows us about fully imposing upon ourselves to run and dwelling upon ourselves, and then He makes it clear to us, it is not by caution, power, or art can save thee from despair. Our place as the Holy Ghost teaches us is to look away from ourselves, and you will need some grace to do that. It's only as God works in you by His power will you do that, and look to Jesus, kind and strong, pity, joy, with power, and to confess our sins, because Christ, being both God and man, is able to save unto the uttermost all that come unto God by faith. You know, it's a bad mark in any strict Baptist or any professor to walk this earth in a profession, and some in the world who have uprightness and morality and integrity. You know, you wouldn't convince them that their heart is full of wickedness. No, they keep that outside attractive, and it's good for the commercial world, they do. But, my friend, when we come in the sight of God in that last great day, if you and I are not clothed with the righteousness of Jesus and washed in His precious blood, He will save us. Doesn't matter what we've done in religion or what usefulness we've had in this world, He will speak of us and compare us as workers of iniquity. Depart from me, I never knew you. You know, the sword of God's separation is very, very sharp. And it will make the strongest child of God strength on some time. And sometimes God's servants and His people, they do have to come to the grave with a mind which is resigned to the sovereignty of God, realizing truly that it is not of Him that willeth, nor of Him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. And what a mercy you and I have this mark in us, which the Holy Ghost has laid there. And if a man, or if a person hasn't got this mark in them, my friend, and you know young people have, oh, I don't abide too much with people who are more advanced in years. I have one in my family. I think she'd been taught that from her childhood, if the truth was known. And it increased in her too. You see, and she couldn't boast of living in a brothel house, or in the dungeon, in immorality, or all those base of abomination. But they are taught just the same things, my friend. And it is a mercy. And what a wonderful thing it is that these characters who have this mark, they are all fair in the sight of God the Father, and in the sight of God the Son, and all fair in the sight of the Holy Spirit. Three persons, yet one God. And to realize that the blood of Jesus cleanses His people from all sin, and by that one sacrifice, He hath perfected forever the men that are sanctified. Now you will find if you are a genuine Holy Ghost child of God, you will come living to the grave, still realizing this conflict, which is mentioned in the 9th chapter of Ezekiel. And that's why you will prove this, that it is the lame that hurt the crowd. You know, the strong never come this way. That is a strong Pharisee or a profane sinner. And you know, it was a Pharisee that went about to kill Christ, not the publicans and the harlots and those who were afflicted with unclean devils and violent devils and palsied madness. But my friend, it was a Pharisee who boasted that they were not born of fornication, but they were, but that God was their Father, and that they were Abram's children. And you know, Jesus, being very God and very man, He knew them from eternity. He knew they were vessels of bronze, fitted to destruction. And he said unto them, you know, Christ's ministry, when we think of the things we've seen gentle Jesus meek and mild in the Sunday school, and then we compare the very searching and separation that is in the ministry of Christ, he said to these Pharisees who were offended at his ministry, he said, ye are of your father. Now what a solemn thing it is to be deceived in profanity or even in a dead religion, but what a wonderful faith of character you and I are, my friend. God has come this side of eternity and dealt with us and put this mark in us and shown us by the in-shining power of the Holy Ghost that with holiness no man shall see the Lord, and that your heart and mind is full of unholiness, and we live alone confessing it before God, not because we live in sin, but because it lives in us, and stand up and plead with the Lord and confess that I'm unholy, needs no proof, we deeply feel the fall. Well, now that's how we stand before the eyes of the Father, that he, as he chosen us in him, in a complete fair in his eyes, and his eyes, you know, are too pure to behold iniquity, and there is no spot or blemish in us, and that's how he sees us people, if we are real God's people, as we live this life of faith and hope and love in that wonderful Christ who loved the church and gave himself for it. You see, the more of your own violence unto you should be shown, the more you have need to press on and let hold. And there's no rock upon the brow of man. You are coming to the sinner's friend, that blessed Christ of God, who speaks a gracious word through his gracious gifts, and saith in his own ministry, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast it. If you're not falling in love more with Christ, the only hope of your salvation as you come nearer to the grave, you can ask yourself when we what's your religion from. But it ought to be found out of love with Christ. You see, we can simply put in our grave, you know, like common infirmities. Yes, and if the heat wave continues, that can put us in that grave, can't it? Well, you know, sometimes when God's judgments are brought on the earth, the righteous have to die under it too. But what a wonderful mercy. Then if you and I know something of the Lord's work in our own heart, soul, and conscience, and instead of still walking in pride and arrogancy and boasting naturally, where is the promise of his coming? He will neither do good nor will he do evil. And we've been made to tremble at his word, and that we are being taught and led by the Spirit of God, because that's where the Lord's people are made complete in Christ, indeed by Christ, and through what Christ has done for us. Thou art all fair, my love. There is no spot in it. What a wonderful resurrection. That will be wonderful. When the dead in Christ shall rise first and enter into that glorious, holy abode with the Trinity, where God's people are, whatever with the Lord, and to live in that perfect atmosphere of holy happiness, and have no more of this war and torment and pain and sorrow, because, my friend, you will know what it is. The fear that you are taught and led by the Spirit, the heaviness and the weight of your own iniquity sometimes, which can press you down and Satan's fiery darts you. And you know, heaviness in the heart of a man that maketh his spirit. Good word makes us glad. Now, if this was applied to your conscience, to God's mind, it would give you encouragement. You are all fair, my love, and there is no spot in it.
Compare this morning, sir, with him 100 and perfect. Salvation. Amen.